This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. The Rich Eisen Show. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The least surprising headline would be the Mavericks fire Nico Harrison.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner. Coming up, ESPN senior NBA writer Brian Windhorst. Senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Senior NBA writer for ESPN, our buddy Brian Windhorst is back. Good to see you, Brian. How are you, sir?
Hey. Hello, Rich. You can watch that podcast at like 2:30 or something Eastern on ESPN2.
Yes.
Should you have nothing better to do?
Listen, you and I, we're here. Our Overreaction Monday pod is on ESPN2, 4:30 Eastern every single Monday. What we do, you know what we are? We're filler programmers. That's what we do.
Listen, do you know how cheap we are to just slap on linear television?
Brian, listen, you're a wordsmith, so you'll appreciate this. We're inexpensive, okay? You understand?
Efficient.
We are not cheap. Efficient. We're not cheap. We are inexpensive, okay? So why now? Why now in Dallas with this move with Nico, Brian?
Well, I think they didn't decide to fire him yesterday. I think they had been moving towards that decision for a while. And, only Patrick Dumont, the owner, or the governor, I should say, knows when he decided. But I think it was boiling over into what looked like was negatively affecting the players on the court. They were dealing with situations in their home arena that made it somewhat of enemy territory. And I think, they've played a lot of home games. I think they've played, if not the most home games in the West so far, nearly the most. And I think they've even got a bunch more coming up. And they were suffering at home because of how toxic the situation had become. Mm. And so I really think that, I can't really say I've ever experienced this or seen this before where a general manager's presence has been, affecting players on the court. But I think that there was some belief that that was the case. I've heard some things, and there's also been some things reported elsewhere. I don't feel on solid ground to tell you exactly what happened, but there seemed to be some indecision within the organization about Anthony Davis's status coming back from the calf injury, and that may have played a role, but I don't think that was a defining factor. I think the owner, Dumont, came to just his second – it was just his second game he had been at this year and sat there and watched the toxic atmosphere, had a fan come up next to him during the game. The game's going on. And by the way, with all due respect, they're not playing, the Washington Generals out there. They're playing the Bucks. Giannis is out there.
Yes.
And fans are coming up to him during the game to discuss the state of the team. And I think it's clear that young fan was symbolic of the Mavericks fan base. They almost don't care what's going on in the court. They only care about the fury that they feel. And so to sort of protect the shield, to limit the damage that is happening to the franchise, I think they felt like they had to do it now. It is very unorthodox to fire a coach on November 11th, but I think that they were trying to limit the damage that was being done.
Yeah, I mean, the fans were vocal. As you pointed out, somebody goes up to the governor and basically says, hey, this is horrible. This has been horrible. Something needs to be done. And I guess they internalized it, or the owner did, governor did. But it all does eventually come back down to, why did Luka have to go? And why did he have to go in the manner in which he went, which is the ultimate pocket listing in the history of pocket listings, Brian?
Yes, exactly.
Why did it have to be that way? And so one of those might be laid at the feet of Nico. The other one is, the governor had to greenlight it, and somebody collectively, I imagine, group think within the organization that Luka ain't it. We're not paying him, or he's not supermaxing. We're not supermaxing with him. We don't believe in him. Do we have any more information on that, even months later, Brian?
Patrick Dumont, to his credit, I suppose, has taken accountability, saying this was my mistake. I allowed the trade. I made an errant judgment. He has said this on multiple occasions, and he repeated it in the letter that he wrote to fans yesterday. And I think when it comes to the Luka trade, and I know that asking for nuance is a huge ask, and especially with Maverick fans who are so raw about this still, but I will ask for nuance here. If you could divide it into two decisions, you could make a case for Luka to be traded. I don't think it's a winning case. I don't think it's a strong case. But if you wanted to say, I don't think investing $300 million, which is what they were going to have to invest in him had they kept him last summer, I don't think that's a smart investment, you could make that case. It is not the most insane basketball case I've ever seen. They were concerned about his health. They were concerned about his temperament. I would absolutely not have done that, but you could make a case. Period. New paragraph. You could make a case, not necessarily that I would agree with, again, but you could make a case that trading for Anthony Davis as the prime asset in return for Luka Doncic in a league where size is becoming more important and where your other star player is in his 30s and you need instantaneous, high level of competition, you could make a case that trading Luka Doncic for Anthony Davis as part of the prime part of the package makes basketball sense. Again, I wouldn't have done it, but you could sit in a conference room with a whiteboard and an iPad and say, here's my case, okay? And if you present it to 10 people, you might get some yes votes. I don't think you'd get six, but you could get some yes votes. Okay, period, new paragraph. All right, now you still can't make that trade with that process, okay?
Yes, right.
You just can't do it. You have to get everything from the Lakers. Everything. You have to get the draft picks, the swaps. You have to get Austin Reeves. There's no negotiation. There's no case on this one. And if you say to me, which people from the Lakers organization have, well, we just weren't going to give Austin Reeves, I say, sounds good. Have a nice day. Click. You move on. And if you are still wanting to trade Luka, you look for other options. So we have a problem terribly with the execution of the trade and the process. Now, once that's happened, he's got to sell it. He's got to sell it to his players. He's got to sell it to the fan base. Absolute F minus on this. His sales on this to the public was between irrational, irresponsible, and borderline arrogant, and insincere in some cases as well. And that was from the day after the trade. And so you add in that, now we're already upside down. Now Anthony Davis gets there and gets hurt his first game and basically has been hurt the majority of the time since. And so the trade is absolutely not working. Luka loses weight and is competing for the MVP. That's terrible. Kyrie Irving blows out his knee. Absolutely awful. All of a sudden, you are now in a gigantic snowball. And they are throwing gasoline on the fire with some of the things that he kept saying and his sentiment to it. And so what you have is, yes, an idea to trade Luka Doncic, not necessarily the worst decision in the history of the NBA, but everything else after that decision has been handled horribly, and it cost him his job.
And so do we know any more about why it was a pocket listing, why they did not go ahead and say, if we're trading Luka, then we're going to have to take the slings and arrows locally here for the next week, 2 weeks, knowing that he's on the block, knowing that we want him to go. But at least we're going to crowdsource with 29 other NBA franchises and get the best possible yield for him, as opposed to doing it under the table, basically, with one team. Do we have any more thoughts on that or reporting on that, Brian?
I will tell you what has been said, and I will tell you that I find the explanation unacceptable.
Okay.
What has been said is that they felt Anthony Davis was the player that they wanted. I mean, I would have been like calling the Thunder and asking for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I know they're not going to make that trade, but that's that's the type of calls that you make, right? I would call and ask for Victor Wembanyama. And I know that it will become, you know, Shams within, you know, 24 hours will probably be reporting it. You'd have to understand that. But like, and I know that those teams wouldn't do that trade, but that's the kind of calls I'm making, mm-hmm. right? They decided Anthony Davis was the guy. They also felt that if they had called around, that it would have gotten public and that it would have undercut the ability to do the trade.
Yeah, I know, but it gets public eventually, and now look at what's happened. People are holding up Fire Nico signs months later. You know what I mean?
This is what I'm saying. Again, if you honestly don't believe that paying a guy who has had trouble staying in shape and has a temperamental problem at times, $300 million, that idea, it's not going to get you ejected from any room. Like, people would at least listen to it. Again, I would have said, well, we're still going to give him 3 more years or 2 more years before we do it. We're still going to sign him to that contract. But you would not get laughed out of a room of NBA executives. You would get laughed out of a room of NBA executives if you said that you were only going to call one team, not ask for everything that they had, and prioritized silence over the most important transaction in the history of the organization.
Okay, so then the last one for you on this one. Sports talk radio question, Brian Windhorst. Because I'm asking you also to put yourself in the mind of the governor of the Dallas Mavericks. If you asked him right now, Patrick Dumond, if you asked him right now, you can have one of two things. You don't trade Luka at all, or you do actually have your general manager crowdsource it with everybody. It gets out.
Great question.
Which one do you think he would choose, Brian?
God, it's a great question. I don't have an instant answer.
Sure.
I think he would say, if he had to answer in front of any more than three people, he would say he wouldn't trade.
No trade. There's a receipt. Yeah. Hold on a minute. I have it right here.
But again,
policy. Right.
Again, it's not insane to look at this and say, because in the era that we're in the NBA right now, like, the worst thing that you can do is have a player on a massive contract that is below that contract. You're crippled. As a Cleveland Browns fan, you want to avoid, you know, a situation where you have a contract that is untradeable, that it destroys your cap position. Mm-hmm. So I could see him still agreeing to trade Luka. It's just, you know, you're calling and asking for Jokic. You know, you're getting told no on the top five players in the league. Mm-hmm. You know, Giannis was involved in trade talks this summer. Okay. Now, I don't know if Giannis would have ever wanted to go to Dallas, but holy Moses, you're calling and asking about Giannis. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's got to be the process. And but no, I think publicly, if he's in front of any group of anybody wearing Dallas Mavericks logo, he's saying, no, Luka would have stayed here for the next 45 years.
Brian Windhorst here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, so the other story in the NBA, is Ja Morant available? What's going on with him? Who's trying to get him? Could it be done fast, soon? What do you think, Brian?
I have not heard that Ja Morant is available. I don't know everything. I wouldn't say I know everything's going on. I have not heard he's available. Have there been the discussions that I have all day, every day about transactions that, you know, is it something people are thinking about could happen and what would the market look like? I have heard that. I will just tell you that Ja is having a terrible season, and his shooting numbers and his production have fallen off a cliff. Now, that seems to be because he's not happy with his situation, but he's already coming off several years in a row where he's had either major off-court problems or injuries, and his numbers, I'm not just talking about the raw scoring. I'm talking about the thing that worries executives about him is that his interior scoring is going down. This is a guy who is one of the most explosive athletes I've ever seen, who became a superstar for his ability to explode to the basket. And there's all these indicators that are showing he's not doing that as much anymore, following a bunch of injuries. Now, maybe if he was on this call with us, he would say it's because I don't like this offense. I don't know. But there's yellow flags on his play. Meanwhile, his outside shooting has never been worse. Okay, so what I'm telling you is his trade value is not good. And then I would challenge you to this. How many teams? Let me just put it to you how my conversations with executives have gone. Mm-hmm. We've got 29 other teams that don't have Ja Morant. How many of those teams are unhappy with their point guard situation? Okay, because there's a lot of great point guards out there. for the sake of argument, this is this exact conversation I've had with league executives about 10 times over for the last 2 weeks. Okay, so I'm going to roll through it. Let's say there's seven or eight. Let's say there's seven or eight teams. You could debate whether there's six, whether there's nine. Let's just say there's seven or eight teams that would, you know, consider upgrading their point guard position. How many of those teams want Ja Morant? That like that in the, like those indicators? It's not seven or eight, Rich. We could spend another couple of hours debating it, but you know, let's say it's a few. Okay, let's say it's three or four. All right, I'll give you five. I don't think it's five, but let's just say it's five.
Mm-hmm.
How many of those five teams have a trade package that's available to that Memphis would like? And I want to remind you, there's a whole bunch of teams out there that have restrictions on trades because of first or second apron stuff. So all of a sudden, the needle eye gets really narrow. And so you have a conversation about whether Ja Morant can be traded. And, you know, a lot of people would say, oh, yes, of course, you know. And I say, I don't know about that. I'm not sure that there's a massive market out there. So that's why I think the Grizzlies' intention is to try to make this work. And I think they suspended him not to announce to the league they want rid of him. They suspended him to try to get him to cooperate with what the coach wants. And I'm going to tell you, the results are saying that it is not working.
I love the way you put things, man. Before I let you go, Brian Windhorst, we're nearing the 1 month mark, about 3 weeks into the season. The story outside of obviously what we've just discussed, I'll give you some options. Obviously, the defending champs having 11 wins, the Pistons blossoming atop the East right now. The Knicks faring well with their new coach, no LeBron. The Lakers are 8-3. Just throwing some out there. Wembanyama has the Bucks. I mean, the Spurs 8-2. The story of the first few weeks of the season would be what in your estimation?
I'm not saying it's the story, but I'm going to put something on your radar that you didn't mention there.
All right,
that
sir.
I think should get some attention.
Thank you.
I would like the NBA fans writ large to please take a look and pay attention to what Nikola Jokic is doing right now. Nikola Jokic right now is putting together a Wilt Chamberlain-style statistical season. And it's not 50 points and 25 rebounds. In the modern era, what Jokic is doing in an efficiency standpoint is jaw-dropping. And I'm going to tell you the numbers because I've looked them up. He right now, I think he was something like 16 of 19 last night. He put on a clinic. If I was a Sacramento Kings fan and I watched this game and what he did last night to the Sacramento Kings, I would seriously consider just taking all my Kings gear and just trading in for Nugget stuff. He is shooting on two-pointers. And this is not a guy who's taking 12 threes a game and two-pointers a game. Okay, he is taking 11 two-pointers a game. And you've seen him. He's not taking layups. Okay? He's shooting 79%. On two-pointers, okay? He is leading the NBA in assists. Leading it, okay?
Yes.
And he is, I think, second in rebounding. I think the last couple of days, he's fallen from first to second in rebounding. He is averaging 26 points, 13 rebounds, and 11 assists. So he is averaging a triple-double, but he's averaging 13 rebounds and 11 assists. He's not crawling over it. The Nuggets offensively are a juggernaut. Jamal Murray is in great shape and playing well. They're tearing teams down. Overall, he's shooting 67%. And if you watch him play, he pretty much makes a jaw-dropping move, whether it's a pass, shot, dribble, spin move, or whatever, about 45 times a game. And so what I am just saying is we are seeing an absolute master at the game of basketball, like we've maybe almost never seen before, at the peak of his powers. He's 30 years old. I think he's in his 10th or 11th season. What I am watching is the peak. This guy has, in the last five years, has three MVPs and 2 seconds. And I'm telling you what he's doing. Now, he's played 10 games. I'm not going to sit here and just project it to 80. What he is doing is on the highest level that I've seen. So all of those other stories, I mean, I'm sitting in Los Angeles like you are right now.
Okay.
I could not walk outside and find 10 people that would care about anything I just said, want to know and the Lakers beat the Thunder tonight. I get it. The Lakers Thunder game is on ESPN. Yes, please
sir.
Watch.
Yes, sir.
All right. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you what I've done. For the last 5 years, I've been unable to watch Nuggets games on. I live in Omaha, Nebraska. And for some unspeakable reason, even though it's 517 miles from my house to the Ball Arena, and I know I've looked, they said that I was in the Nuggets zone and I wasn't able to watch them on League Pass. So I only got to watch, even though, and by the way, a lot of people in media get League Pass for free. I pay for it.
That's right,
pay
Brian.
For it with my money, okay? So I can bitch about it. and I was denied Nuggets games, unless they were on national TV. Hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to go into any details, but I'm just going to tell you that the League Pass situation changed this year, and you can manipulate your location a little bit. And so I have. And now I can watch the Nuggets games, even though I'm not supposed to. Let's just say the new League Pass provider that I have doesn't think that I live in the city that I live in. And so now I can watch him even more. And I did it so I could watch Nikola freaking Jokic, because I love watching him. He, to me, he's the guy I would pay to see in the NBA, because just about every possession, okay, not everyone, but just about every possession, he does something that you're like, wow, that's awesome.
Well, you literally are, as you pointed out, paying to watch him play. And yes, you're going.
I've manipulated the system.
Brian Windhorst going rogue. That's how good Jokic is playing.
I absolutely love it.
You're the best, Brian. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, Rich.
Yes,
take
indeed.
Care.
You got that tonight on ESPN. What a game indeed. Lakers, Thunder.
By the way, as long as I'm shilling.
Yeah, please.
The first game is Knicks and Magic. The Magic have won 4 out of 6. They're playing better. And the Knicks are 7-0. I think the Knicks have won 5 in a row, and they're 7-0 at the Garden.
Yeah, yeah.
7-0 at the Garden.
Right.
So, good Eastern Conference game. And then later on, you can see if Luka can take down the Thunder in OKC.
Also, it's an Inside the NBA night as well. So, lots of reasons to flip on the aforementioned worldwide
leader
in sports.
And let me just say that in the event that it wasn't an Inside the NBA night, yes, you should still watch, yes, Countdown, because Brian, we have a very good product. We may not have Hall of Famers yet.
No, no,
but
it's all good.
We have a very good
Brian,
product.
Brian, correct. It's there's many reasons to watch, including 2:30 Eastern time. The Brian Windhorst and the Hoop Collective podcast on ESPN2. Thanks for the time, sir.
And it may not be on at 2:30. I don't even know what time zone I'm in right now, but it's on. You can see it at your leisure.
Check
on
your
YouTube
local listings
or your purveyor of podcasts.
And if it's not available, just change where you live.
Yeah,
because it's worth it.
That's right. Just hit that
take
tab.
A page.
If anybody asks, Rich, I live in Bozeman, Montana.
Brian Windhorst, everybody. Yes, fantastic. Oh. Yet another brilliant Brian Windhorst appearance on the Rich Eisen Show.
A legend.
My power rankings coming up next. And there's a lot that people are going to be upset with. No one's going to be happy, I don't think.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
As many of you know, supporting pediatric cancer research is something I care deeply about. That's why I'm proud to share what Hyundai's doing through Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, with every Hyundai sold, they've helped fund pediatric cancer research. Alongside over 850 dealers, they've raised more than $277 million, helping over 25,000 kids and supporting more than 1,400 research grants at 175 institutions nationwide. This year alone, they've committed another $27 million in honor of the 27th anniversary of the program. And they're proud to have national youth ambassadors like Jackson Trin and Emmy Cole, who bring hope to kids across the country by sharing their stories. Because at Hyundai, hope is our greatest feature, and it comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive insurance. All right, everybody. How great is Windhorst? I mean, I just can't get enough of the way he dispenses information in a way that is gripping, hilarious, and plain spoken.
Mm-hmm.
There's no one like him. God bless. I love when he comes on this program, and don't take it for granted. It's my power rankings, and I'm telling you, some people are going to be upset.
Can we guess before?
Nope. The people it's are? Called the Week 11 Power Rankings presented by Sonos. Hit it.
This is mine.
Power Rankings. All right, presented by Sonos, my Week 11 Power Rankings. Right. And I'll be honest with you, it's now rubber meeting the road time.
Grab the list.
Because there are teams that have much better records than some of the teams that are on this list. And fans, I understand some of you might be like, what gives? That's disrespectful. Mm-hmm. But it's rubber meeting the road time now. And part of my Power Rankings are teams that look the way they look, regardless of their record and how I think they can climb up this list and stay on it. And that's why I'm starting this list. Number 10, the 4-5 Baltimore Ravens are on this list.
Oh my gosh. 100%.
I say, what a preamble so you can put the Ravens and Chiefs on here.
Excuse me.
You just made the list.
Fine. Do what you will. Screw it. And put up number 9. They are the Chiefs.
Yeah, of course.
What
are you doing?
Yes. So predictable. Yes.
It's, you know what? You could call it predictable. I call it right.
Oh, gosh.
I call it correct. I call it seeing it for what it is. And what it is are two teams with MVP quarterbacks who are playing at the tops of their games in the case of Lamar, when he's healthy.
The tops of their games, they have 9 combined wins.
I got it. It's a team sport, and I understand why the Ravens started 1-5. They're now 4-5, and I understand that the Chiefs just lost to the Bills before their bye week, and then the Bills took all of that momentum and just threw it out in Miami. I understand that, but I also see what these rosters on these teams are and these coaches, what they can do to cook it up. And how good they are, and how the Chiefs are going to Denver, with Denver can't do a single thing on offense most of the time, and Andy Reid's coming off of a bye week, and this team, like the Ravens, are chock full of Pro Bowlers. When healthy, they're coming for you. And that's how I'm starting my power rankings.
So even after understanding all that, you still did what you did?
Two non-playoff teams.
Fine. Laugh all you want. These are power rankings. There are many like them, but this one is mine.
Okay.
Chris. That's the most important.
Yeah, that's the most important.
So what's that? Is that it?
No, it's not it. Number 8 on my power rankings list.
Hold on, let's guess. The Cincinnati Bengals.
No. They are not on the list, Chris.
Oh, this list means the Cowboys mean it.
No,
for sure.
Most certainly not on the list.
Come on.
But back on the list are the Los Angeles Chargers at 8.
Okay.
Back on the list are the Los Angeles Chargers at 8. Justin Herbert doing his thing. The defense doing its thing. They don't have their all-world tackles to help protect this guy. But here's Kimani Vidal. All right? Here comes LaDidi. Here comes Quentin Johnston every now and then. Here's Keenan Allen setting the all-time record for Chargers receptions. Gadsden didn't have much of a night against Pittsburgh, but you know who did the defense? Leaving the Steelers wondering what the hell happened between beating the Colts and beating ourselves up.
Yep.
The Chargers are 8th on this list. 7 on this list, down 4 spots. I overranked them last week, Chris. And when you texted me during the Thursday night Broncos Raiders game, you're like, you know, how dare you have them above the Patriots, essentially. And my bad, but they're still on the list. They are 8-2. And the Broncos do have a championship quality defense. But, man, that offense concerns me. I do believe this. J.K. Dobbins, as we know, has been terrific running the football this year. If he goes out for any specific period of time, look out for R.J. Harvey to be that Kamara-type guy in this offense that Sean Payton has been trying to share the football at the running back spot with a terrific player and a lion-hearted guy in the Buckeye and J.K. Dobbins. But just keep an eye out for that and how that might spark this offense in need of one. They're 7th on the list. Up 3 spots is a team I'm just never going to quit. Never going to quit the Detroit Lions. They are right there. They looked terrific against Washington. I understand that they looked brutal against the Minnesota Vikings, but you know what? Dan Campbell said, I'm going to take over the play calling. And you know what? We have a new situation. We have a new superhero, and he's in Detroit.
And have a great day today.
When you got a guy, he puts on the glasses to call the plays. He's Clark Coordinator. And he takes off the glasses. He's Super Dan. That's the difference. There's two guys in one here now. Clark Coordinator's dialing it up with those glasses and the big-ass play sheet. And then he's still Dan Campbell, just getting everybody in the right spots and in the right minds everywhere. And I can't wait for this game against the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles better come correct on offense, because I think the Lions might have figured something out. Can't wait for this game on Sunday night on NBC. Top five
can't
now.
Wait.
Up two spots. I'm putting the Colts here. I'm putting the Colts here because they have, in my mind, through the first 10 weeks, I got to go with Jonathan Taylor as the MVP of this league. I mean, that is an MVP performance. Put everything on my back. Regular time, overtime, put it on my back. Last week, the week before this in Pittsburgh, it looked terrible. But guess what we're going to do? We're going to go back to our bread and butter. And the bread and butter is 28. And he just led the way against the Falcons team that had him dead to rights. They're up two spots at five. Up one spot, the Seattle Seahawks. They're top four now. They're top four. Sam Darnold has become the quarterback version of the Colts punter from the first month of the season. Just take the rest of the day off.
Yeah, he only had 12 pass attempts.
I mean, he was perfect in the first half against Washington in that boat race win, and then pretty much did nothing in the second half. He had two attempts in the second half of this game against the Arizona Cardinals because it was all over, and the defense helps out too. DeMarcus Lawrence, as we know, talking to Leonard Williams earlier this week, two fumble returns for a touchdown in the first half. Over 20 yards. That's never happened in a full game, and he did it in one half. Here come the Seahawks against the Rams, who I've yet to mention, as you know. Up one spot. I'm putting your Patriots here, Chris. And you could pretty much tell the names of the teams I have not said. The Patriots now lead my power rankings of all teams in the AFC. They are my leading AFC power ranking team. As we're doing this right now, as we're talking, I believe the Patriots just finished announcing Rob Gronkowski's one-day contract. Robert Kraft asked him, how about a two-day contract? Rob asked him what the signing bonus was for that. It's all laughs and giggles right now in Foxborough, Massachusetts.
We're back, baby.
Vrabel's doing his thing. He's hugging it out on everybody. I love it.
Love it.
I love it. And Drake May, please, everybody, do seek out that throw he made to Kyle Williams, his rookie.
I'll tweet it out right now.
Tweet it out. It's fascinating that you're on it so quickly, Chris.
He's got it.
Because it is amazing. I don't know who makes a throw like this from the middle of the field, slightly towards the left hash, all the way across the field to a guy who's running towards the right sideline, hits him in stride with a dart that I don't think anybody's going to make this throw. He's unbelievable. And they are taking on a Jets team that, I guess throw the records out, please, if you're the Jets. But the Patriots are number three. Now I'm going back and forth, Rams-Eagles, Eagles-Rams. The Eagles, as we know, beat the Rams this year because the Rams couldn't make a freaking kick in Philadelphia. That thing was pretty much a wrap until the Eagles came back on them in a way that, say, Denver came back on Philadelphia in that building in a way that the Rams did not. And that Eagles defense is lights out. Lights out. It's put Matt LaFleur flat out on a hot seat. I understand the Panthers did it to them the week before in that building. The stopping the offense. But I'm putting the Eagles here at two. I'm knocking them down a peg despite winning Monday Night Football. And the reason why is offensively, I don't know what the hell's going on. I don't know what's going on. And for what I need to do for my power rankings, I'm always going to lean on the team that is playing well in almost every phase. They got the new thicker kicker, right?
Yep.
Okay. They didn't really have to test him out all that much for pressure field goals because they boat raced the 49ers. The Rams are playing the best football on both sides of the ball right now. Matthew Stafford is out of his skull. and the receivers he has. First ballot Hall of Famer Devontae Adams and Puka Nacua doing his thing. And all of these tight ends. And they've got Kyron Williams and our guy Balake Karum.
Balake.
Who's been running a little
coming
bit more
on.
And he's
yep.
coming on.
Yep.
And they have all these tight ends and they run out of the same formation almost all the time in different plays coming at you. Sean McVay is out of his skull too. And defensively. Come on now. They've got a bunch of guys that put it together. They're laying the wood. Can't wait for this game against the Seahawks this week. But the Rams, for the first time this year, are atop my power rankings.
I like it.
After 11 weeks. So I guess I finished up strong for you guys.
You did.
I started off.
Yeah, you did.
Listen, I understand. I took the Bills and the Packers off. And I understand that you've got the Bucks with a better record. And I understand that the Bills beat the Ravens in week one. And I understand who's got a better record than both the Chiefs and the Ravens. I get it. But push comes to shove, those teams are on a field against your team. More likely than not, they're going to win. And I understand Denver has Kansas City this week. That's a tough one. And the Ravens, I think they're just going to keep stacking wins until they maybe see your team in New England, Chris. Or maybe Burrow comes back from his toe injury and surprises everybody.
Maybe.
But that's my Week 11 Power Rankings presented by Sonos. Explore soundbars, speakers, and more at Sonos.com. Sonos products look as good as they sound. Who would you put on 9 and 10 then? You'd put the Bills on there, Chris? Really?
No.
You think the Bills run it back right now against the Chiefs or run it back against
Baltimore? I think if we're taking a snapshot of right now, you could say Bucks and Bears, maybe?
The Bears. You think the Bears just lost the Ravens, number one. Okay. Against Snoop Huntley, number two. And then number three.
It's 6-3.
You think the Bears.
And they're in the playoffs.
You think the Bears go into Arrowhead or the Chiefs go into Chicago. You take the Bears against them? Yes or no?
To win?
Is that the point of the power rankings?
Are we projecting the playoffs or are we taking a snapshot of what's going on right now?
Okay, I'll put it in your turn.
I mean, well, you
who's
do
the
have
more
a
powerful
ball?
Team. Who's the more powerful team?
As of today?
Yeah.
The team with six
you're,
wins.
You're taking the Bears.
The team with six wins. There's two teams with six wins.
As of today at 10:42, yeah.
Okay. Wins don't mean everything.
Well, I thought you'd play to win the game.
Yeah, in a power ranking, they don't mean everything. It's who would win.
Win-win.
Who is better?
It though? Is there a power ranking definition?
Clearly there is not. I have one definition. You've got another.
I would have the
Eagles. Only difference between our opinions
way
is mine
down.
Is right. Yours is way wrong.
Of course.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm allowed to then just take a break and leave it at that. Huh. I've got my inner excellence right next to me, right here. What do you have?
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show on our simulcast, ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive is helping veterans drive their lives forward with its Keys to Progress program. Albert Breer going to join us shortly from Sports Illustrated. So much breaking news in the NFL to hit him on. Also still to come on this show, Dan Campbell speaking about the tush push because the Eagles are next. And also, Nick Sirianni had an interesting back and forth about that fourth down throw to A.J. Brown being the first target since the first quarter, pretty much, or second quarter. That's still to come on the Hour 3. Don't miss it. In the meantime, we had, as you know, Buster Olney here during the World Series. And we also talked about it with Jeff Passan as well. Paul Skeens, everybody. Didn't you hear how old Buster came in here and said how Paul Skeens could make things really difficult for the Pirates in the way that, you know, an NBA player could make things difficult by demanding a trade? Very few NFL players get the James Harden treatment, but sometimes it happens. And so Skeens has said nothing. Tonight, we will hear from Paul Skeens because he is expected to receive the National League Cy Young Award this evening. Those are announced tonight. But somebody on the Pirates has spoken to NJ.com, Advance Media, New Jersey. And it's named after the Staten Island Advance, which, as you know, is my former workplace. But anyway, Randy Miller covers baseball for that publication, and he spoke to a former or a current teammate, Paul Skeens. Put the headline up. Paul Skeens has a Yankees dream. Trust me, teammate says, and Pirates, quote unquote, understand it. In the body of this article.
Who's that?
The unnamed teammate.
Name yourself.
New Jersey NJ Advance Media. Quote, trust me, he wants to play for the Yankees, the Skeens teammate said. Quote, I've heard him say it multiple times. A person with knowledge of the pitcher's past intentions was also quoted, unnamed. Skeens grew up a big Angels fan. He's from Southern California. He's from Orange County. He's talked about going to the Arizona Fall League when he was 9 or 10, trying to get Mike Trout's autograph there. I used to think Anaheim was where Skeens wanted to go.
Not no more.
And so, this was brought up to Ben Cherington, the Pirates' general manager.
Oh, yeah.
Was asked about this by the Intrepid reporter on this crucial beat. The general manager of the Pirates, the executive's reaction, quote, I do dismiss it, but I understand it. That's why that's in the headline. What we're going to focus on is just how do we win games with him in a Pirates uniform. I have a ton of respect for the Yankees, but we'll just focus on what we need to do. In a nice way, it's really simple, Cherington said, because what matters most to Skeens is what matters to us. Win more games. So in a way, it helps simplify it and focus it. My conversations with him, the only thing we talk about is winning and how to do that. Says he will be, Skeens will be a Pirate in 2026 for sure. He's not salary arbitration eligible until 2027. According to this article, Skeens wants a trade before he turns free agent in 2029. Trust me, he wants to play for the Yankees, the Skeens teammate said. I've heard him say it multiple times. You know, I've never met Paul Skeens. I've only seen his work. I'm a fan of his work. But I'm also a fan of his mindset and clear intelligence in how to approach life. Who's to argue how Paul Skeens approaches life? Bueller? Anyone?
Well, if he wants to win a World Series, there's other places to go.
He's winning. It seems like he's winning in many aspects of his life. But what do you want? Is you want a platform. And to say that he wants to be a Yankee in a Mets town after Soto has clearly shown the way. If you want to go to New York and get paid, go to the Mets and have it fall completely apart.
Listen, bro.
Could you imagine?
No, because you're taking the word of some nameless, faceless person. We all know this dude.
He's a teammate of Paul Skeens.
Yeah, it says who.
And you cannot besmirch Advance Media. I would know. I'm an alumni of Advance Media.
Well, I'm just saying.
Or pardon me, as they say in Staten Island, Advance Media. Advance. Okay?
Could be a little biased.
I know. People who work for Advance Media aren't just off. I used to be one of them. Damn straight they're credible.
Doesn't answer my question.
Damn straight they're credible.
How dare you?
Just saying, I ain't never heard of them.
Well, you probably have read their publication. You just don't know who owns it. All I'm saying is Paul Skeens is smart and really good. And this would be, Paul, this is the, as the Mandalorian once said, this is the way.
I'd rather see him come to the Dodgers.
Yeah, than the Yankees? Yes.
No, he wants to actually get the money now before he turns 45. So he'll go to the Yankees. Yeah. They'll pay you now.
Yeah, they will pay you now.
It's no, there's no layaway 401k plan.
Check's clear, baby.
Yeah, that's the way it rolls.
And keep that ring finger in
the Rich Eisen Show Podcast.